Spirit, fall afresh upon us, within us. Renew us, restore us, heal us, Lord. Be in the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts that both will glorify God and be a blessing to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. It is the third Sunday of Advent, but did you also know that it is Cowboy Sunday? If you were listening attentively to the collect, it begins with, stir up your okay. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I debated whether to share that or not. But it is the third Sunday of Advent. It is where we traditionally celebrate joy. And what better way to celebrate joy than with laughter? So, Lord, I ask your forgiveness and help me to continue to move into your word. So, the lessons this morning reflect joy. And from Zephaniah, sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem, the Lord your God is in your midst. And from Canticle 9, for the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense, and he will be my Savior. Therefore you shall draw water with rejoicing from the springs of salvation. Cry aloud, inhabitants of Zion, ring out your joy, for the Great One is in the midst of you, the Holy One of Israel. And from Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. If you look at the number of times that the word joy or joyful or rejoicing appears in Scripture, 402 times in my resource book. And so it reveals an importance to God about joy, and specifically about our joy. Recall what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So Jesus is pretty direct there in his desire for his joy to be within us. And yes, there are times of great joy, right? You know, I think of joy as a celebration of what we are about and preparing for the gift of the joy giver himself. I think about moments of weddings and graduations and concerts and music and poetry. But have you ever asked yourself, where is the joy that Jesus is talking about? Have you ever had those moments? Now, maybe some of you have been so blessed that you haven't. But in my own personal experience, I can remember a time where I was asking that question all the time as a pastor. Lord, where is your joy that Jesus, I want it. Is there anyone here that would like to have more joy? I think all of us, right? And I think God has more of that joy for us. And so that wherever we have experienced the lack of that fullness of joy, that indicates that there's something that's preventing us from receiving it. And that's where I want to really direct my comments. What is it? And there are a number of things, but what is it that is preventing us from receiving the fullness of joy that the Lord wants for us? I can remember at my first church, St. Mark's Episcopal Church, up on the Canadian border in northern Vermont. And I had a good friend, Jim, you'll remember, Father Jim Beauregard, mutual friend, Roman Catholic priest, friend, mentor. And we would get together about once a month for breakfast. And finally, I just said, Jim, I need to share something with you. And I said, I don't know what to do. And I said, I don't know what to do with this loneliness, the sadness, the depression, the lack of joy in my life. And I told him it doesn't make any sense because I'm surrounded with blessings. I have this amazing church that's coming alive in God's love. Some of the best bass fishing in all of New England. And cross-country skiing. And I said, and I'm married to one of the most beautiful women that I know. And I still am. She's right over here, by the way. You got to make points when you can, right? And an amazing son. And you put all those blessings together. And it just doesn't equate with the loneliness and sadness and depression. And Jim looked at me and said, John, I know what your problem is. And so I trusted him. That's why I shared. I wanted to hear what he had to say. And he said, you're suffering from cold love. Now, I preached on this at the Maundy Thursday service earlier this year. So if you were there, maybe as a reminder, and if not, if you weren't there, maybe the first time to hear. But I had no idea what cold love was. And so I asked him, he said, cold love, John, cold love is when you don't let God love you the way God is choosing to do. Cold love is not letting God love us, and it's usually through each other, the way that God desires to do. He says, so many of us in our journey, we yearn for that intimacy with the Lord. And when we experience the Lord coming near, the kingdom of God drawing near, we say yes, yes. And then all of a sudden, in our humanness, we're apt. I don't think I can take any closer, Lord. I can't take any more. And so when Jim described that, I looked at him and said, no, I don't think that's me, Jim. Well, you know, the Lord has a way of convicting us with truth in loving ways. The very next week, I'm talking with one of my best friends, Ray. He knows that Deb and Josh and I are headed to this church known as St. James Episcopal Church in a little town called Black Mountain, not too far from here, to interview for the rector's position. We had a small car, and it's about 1,100 mile trip one way. And Ray said, John, I've got this big old Oldsmobile. It's a large car. It's going to be safer, much more comfortable. Take my car and enjoy the ride. And without even thinking, the first words out of my mouth, Ray, that's a wonderful offer, but I just couldn't let you hear. Do you hear that? That's the voice of cold love. I just couldn't let you do that. How many of us have either those words have come from our mouth or we've heard them from someone else that we are trying to help? Thank you, but I couldn't ask you to do that. Or thanks, but I've got this. Or I think I'm okay. I'll call you if I need you. And seldom does that call come, right? And so Jesus he's lifting up to us on this Joy Sunday is that one of the keys to overcome the lack of joy is abiding in love. He says, abide in love. I have said these things to you so that your joy would be full, that your joy would be complete. So abiding in God's love. There's signs all around us of what that looks like. It's the antithesis of cold love when we allow God to care for us and love for us. Just look around the altar. You know, aren't those just wonderful signs of abiding in God's love? That's the fruit of abiding in God's love. The gifts from the angel tree, the Advent bags, the pastoral care team reaching out to the sick, going through difficult times. Here is a little bit of what it looks like also in the church, where abiding in love diminishes the cold love and increases joy. In their Maundy Thursday stories, one is at St. James in Black Mountain. And it was one of my first Maundy Thursday services. And there's a washing of the feet, and we have four chairs, and people come up and wash each other's feet. And during that foot washing, I looked over here, kind of right where Jim and Sharon are seated, but they're in the front pew. And Bill, big old strapping guy, and three kids. There are stair steps, about 2.5, 5, and I think almost 9. And who usually is washing the feet? It's the parents, it's the mom, it's the daddy. Well, I guess he was washing daddy's feet. It was this role reversal, right? And that's sometimes where God, the sum of God's greatest works, is where we let someone else do for us, which we typically do for them. And these big old alligator tears just streaming down, and they were tears of joy because Bill, I think he knew it, he may not have called it this, but he was abiding fully in God's love, and he was being filled fully with God's joy. And one of the cutest things I ever saw at Maundy Thursday, the little one was holding his daddy's foot, you know, 2.5, you know, the balance isn't quite, so he's there, and he's kind of going like this, trying to hold his daddy's foot. And the second story that I want to share with you was, and at Maundy Thursday, is St. Mark's Episcopal Church up in Vermont. And I'm preaching at the pulpit. Over the years, I feel as if the Lord has led me to this position rather than there, so I hope you forgive me for being here. But I was actually preaching up there, and it was right over where Ann is sitting. Raise your hand, Ann. There you go. Thank you. You didn't know you were going to be a participant in this, did you? And all of a sudden, Lynn, right in the middle of the sermon, she's moving around and antsy and going like this, and it was distracting, first of all. And then I began, well, is something wrong? Is something physically? Because she kept at it, and then all of a sudden she stopped to go on with the service. At the end of the service, I went up to her and I said, Lynn, are you okay? And she said, yeah, why? I said, well, you were so fidgety over there, and it looked as if something was going on. I thought maybe you weren't feeling well. She said, oh, no, I forgot about the foot washing, and I'm wearing pantyhose. So in the middle of my Maundy Thursday service, Lynn was removing part of her apparel. Can you imagine? So Tim, did they prepare you for something like this at Sewanee? Yeah, not at Seabury Western either. Well, bless you for that. But I will always remember that for several reasons. But the most important, here is a lady that was so in love with the Lord, so desiring to abide in the fullness of God's love, that she was not going to let a piece of clothing deny her from receiving the fullness of God's love. That's at the heart of what is happening. And so maybe part of the blessing this morning is we're not doing a foot washing, but abiding in God's love. I don't think it's always the easiest thing to do, because our human default isn't always abiding in God's love. Our human default tends to be, I can do this. I really don't need help. You know, it's okay. And we have to be aware that when we say that, think that, do that, are we at risk of cold love? Are we not letting God love us as God is choosing to do? And so I just leave that with you for this Advent season and this coming week, just to be aware. Lord, would you show me wherever I might be participating in cold love, knowing that where I am, your joy is not going to be as full, but where I am abiding more and more in your love with your help, my joy, our joy will be fuller. So let us pray. There it is. Let us pray. Blessed are we who wait with bated breath, who wait for something new to be born, for new hope or new joy or new life. Blessed are we whose patience grows thinner by the day, we who are tired of the world as it is, in all of its heartache and loss and hopelessness, we who want more, more hope, more joy, more life. Blessed are we who sit here, waiting at the still point between desire and expectation, we who are making room for more of you, O God, this Christmas. O Lord, surprise us with joy as we let go of our cold love, letting you love us as you desire, especially through one another. Surprise us with joy as we quiet our souls to listen, to wait for you, O God, for your word made flesh is life to us. In Jesus' name, amen.